This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad, boys and girls. Nice to be back with you again. Tell you the story later. Very ouch. This is Postcard from Pop Brad. Hi to the guys at Replay Radio. Especially, I'll say hello to some of you guys in a minute. The guys at RTI, Audio Boo, and just about everywhere else you're listening to us at this very moment in time. Postcard from Pop Brad is because we are based in Pop Brad at the glorious Tatry Mountains. It's lovely over here. I'm Eric Wiltshire, and I get the good job of being in Slovakia. Over in the other part of Europe, the zit on the nose of Europe, it is none other than the angry bird himself, Lee Banks.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll just explain why I'm angry as a bird. It's over a bird. It's over my young lady called Andrea, who is nagging. Well, I just want to say to her,
yeah,
Andrea, darling, I found something that your bum doesn't look big in. It's called the distance.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
I'll help out a bit in a minute. But first of all, before we do that, Voice of Sanity returns from Paris. It's the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
Hello, everybody from Paris. Very grey, very wet.
Oh, God. Pavements
are clean for the moment.
Oh, God.
There we are.
Anyway, well, it's not Paris to do-do anymore.
It's all been washed off last night.
Oh. But anyway, this is a message for Andrea. Andrea, we're gonna try something just for Andrea now before we start the program. Lee, I'd like you to count to 10, please.
Which end?
Go on then.
From which end?
Any end you like.
I'm gonna start at 5.
Go on then.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Now you see that's secure, Andrea. What you've got to do is you've got to get one of these fader things like I've got. Then you can shut him up and nobody can hear him.
Have you just faded me?
Yes.
It would have been smart to say 5, 6, 4, 7, 3, 8,
ooh,
2, 9, 1, 0.
Very good.
I'm not dyslexic.
Allegedly, this programme is a sideways look at the news, and we'll do our best to do that in a minute. First of all, I've got to say hi to Andrew, who's apparently just found me after many, many years, and he claims it was 1997, the last time
When you borrowed money off him.
Probably. When he was last listening to me. Well, nice to have you back with us, Andrew. I'm just a bad penny and I won't go away. The other question from Andrew is, could I do more hours? Andrew, the world is not ready for that yet. It might need vast amount of tranquilizers before that could happen, but we'll see what we can do for you. Anyway, nice
tranquilizers.
Yes,
I know all about tranquilizers.
Well, I'm sure you do.
I don't use them for the reasons you use them.
I
can't pursue that remark. Actually, I just saw what I was going to say and stopped.
Yeah, yes, well, dear listener, he's taking the Mickey.
I'm not taking the mic.
Yes,
I'm in a really bad mood because I had to get up early. You remember I had to sing last week because I was up so early.
Yes.
Well, this week I had to get up 3 hours earlier and I just want to go to sleep.
The truth is, and actually I should say like to two lovely ladies who are paramedics in Poprad in the ambulance system who had the horrible job of having to try and lift an Eric off the floor last Thursday. Hence, I wasn't here last week because I trapped a nerve in my spine. I ended up on all fours on the floor, couldn't get up, couldn't go
woof,
down.
Woof, woof, woof,
thank you. And these poor young ladies came in the office and they've gone, oh, and they know what's wrong.
Did they have to take a wall out to get you through?
No, they managed, I don't know how they did it, but these two tiny ladies lifted me into an ambulance chair and then lifted me in the back of an ambulance.
How tiny were they?
They were sort of
like 6 inches.
Size 10s.
Size 10, that's a bit little.
Yeah, strong as horses. Tell you.
They look like horses.
No, they look.
I don't think a size 10 is little at all.
Do you not?
No.
Oh, right.
Size 6 or 8 is little.
Ooh.
That's paedophilic.
No. What's that got to do with it? Well, it's not you've got the wrong words, Lee. You're getting your stories all mixed up.
Anyway,
yes,
so a couple of size 10s. You were picked up by a couple of size 10s.
Like, yeah, size 10s. And yeah. Then taken to hospital. And for the last week since then, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I've been going to hospital, having intravenous injections with this lovely poor nurse who has to put up with the fact I've got one of these allergies to needles. And whenever my body sees needles, my veins go, no, not having any, not doing any of that. And so she has about three goes to get a pint of stuff in me every day, but my arms now look black and blue where I'm bruised to hell. But the good news is I am walking about again.
Why don't you just have it through a straw?
Stupid boy.
Why don't you just smoke it?
Stupid
boy. Because it's wet. That's even stupider than me.
Anyway, let's get on with the programme, believe it or not. Ben Needham. Lee.
Yeah, well, I just think it's really quite amazing. In a way, I hope they don't actually find Ben's body under this pile of rubble just next to the place where he went missing. Mm. Because that would be... A, his mother says that it would end a life if they do find him there. Mm. And I understand what she's saying because she's mortified.
Could you just explain... Just explain the story for the millions that don't know what we're talking about.
Well, Ben Needham... was a young lad who went missing on a Greek island.
Three years old, wasn't he?
He's only a toddler, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And they've spent the last decades looking for him.
Yeah.
And his parents have always believed that he's alive. He's very similar to...
Maddie.
Yeah, that's right. And they've been looking for him for so long. And now, incredibly... The police have said that they now believe he's buried under a pile of rubble on a building site right next to the spot where he disappeared. I'm absolutely appalled that this...
Which apparently may have collapsed on him. I'm not sure. I don't think the suggestion is that he was buried there by anybody.
Yeah. No, that's the whole point.
It's beside the point, though, that if his body has been there and this poor woman and the family have been through this absolute hell.
Grieving for 20 years. Yeah.
And the poor kid's been buried right to the place where he disappeared. It throws so many questions about how the police have pursued this thing and how it's been grown into this almost mythological and like I say, the mother herself has said that it will end her life, not if the hope is gone that he's still alive, but also the fact that his body's been so close to the centre of action. Anyway, it's just a tragic thing, and I think by the time we do the next show, we should know one way or the other.
That'd be good. Yeah. Same with sad news, I'm afraid, as we always do at the beginning. We cheer you up later. Sylvia Christel. I'm sure there's many a young teen that's...
Well, I don't think many young teens know who she is.
Well, teens of the time.
Yes.
I think she was actually quite well known anyway.
Well, actually,
she?
The film has been on television many, many times since then. And if I remember rightly, right up till the early 2000s.
It wasn't really. I remember seeing it in the. I have no shame, but I went to see it in the 70s.
We're doing it again. We're not explaining what we're talking about yet.
What?
People don't know what the film is.
I was just going to say.
Thank goodness for that.
Oh, you. I tell you what. Oh, Andrea's just had a telling off. Yes. There is a film, ladies and gentlemen, that in the 1970s was called Emmanuel, which was supposed to be pornography. It actually showed a pair of biffers and things like that. That's not pornography. It was just a bit of an erotic film. And there was this gorgeous young lady called Sylvia Christel.
We can turn you off now if you like.
Got her, don't you dare fade me, who got her biffers out in this film and was classed as a porn star. She wasn't a porn star. She was a lady who showed her biffers, that's all.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she's died age 60 because she smoked too much.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty horrific. I mean, the amount of damage it did, was it lung cancer and throat cancer, the whole lot.
Yeah,
and she was a heavy smoker.
She must have been smoking a lot then.
But also, I mean, she was, I don't know if she got over it, but I mean, she was also abused drugs and alcohol. She said they were so often standing around waiting, but also apparently she used to get very nervous before some of these filming sessions. Mm. And she found herself addicted to these things. But she was a beautiful woman.
She was,
really beautiful.
Yeah. But so we're not saying really then it was cigarettes. What we're saying is it was a combination of booze, drugs and cigarettes.
Well, it was mainly the cigarettes, really, that did her in.
Was it?
And, that's what people are saying. I don't have any personal knowledge of her.
All right.
Apart from going to watch Emmanuel when I was about 14.
Yes.
And she smoked from being a child. A lot of us have. A lot of us who from that sort of age group started smoking when we were young. I started smoking when I was 13. And you smoked all your life.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the only saving grace I've got is that I give up every few months for months. So I'll probably only smoke for a couple of months.
Well, it's quite amusing because last weekend, while I was still suffering in pain, Petra and Martina went off to Bratislava because they've got this human body exhibition in Bratislava at the moment. And the first thing she said when she came back was, I saw a man who's been smoking all his life. His lungs were so swollen and black. That's what your lungs look like. And I went, oh, okay, give us a fake.
When she seen your lungs?
No, she said, that's what your lungs look like in a metaphor.
In a metaphorical sense?
Yes.
I understand. I know. I bet my lungs look a bit like
so
that.
So my, Mark doesn't
you've
smoke.
You've smoked all your life, though, haven't you?
I was a smoker, and I'm now an ex-smoker, so I'm the worst type, but I haven't smoked for a good few years, I'm very pleased
good
to
man.
Say.
Smoking's a terrible thing. It makes you stink. It makes
it
you
does.
Go crinkly. It makes
does.
You ugly.
No,
it does.
It makes you thin and
no.
ultimately
it, it does.
No.
Yeah.
No,
yes, it does.
Smoking took me onto a premier, well, in those days it was First Division, Premiership football grounds for nothing.
That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. Not because you were smoking them. It was because you were a purveyor of deadly, disease-giving sticks.
Actually, you're both going to hate me for this.
Go on.
One of our techniques to encourage young people to smoke was to go to the top nightclubs around the UK. Terrible job. Somebody had to do it. I would go around with these young ladies who were... assistants, shall we call them? Yes, that'll do. Yeah. We'll call them assistants. And what I would do is I would stand up with the DJ in the middle of the nightclub and I would lob out packets of three cigarettes.
Yes.
cigarettes.
Three cigarettes. And they were made, and there was a little bit of polystyrene at each side, so there was three cigarettes in the middle. So we had this game of catch a packet of three, and then people had to smoke them on the dance floor.
Blimey.
I remember things like that being done for cigarettes.
Yeah.
I do. Amazing. And it was a terrible thing. It was a terrible thing.
No, it was wonderful. I used to get champagne, be walked around by pretty girls, never bought anything in the best nightclubs in the whole of the UK.
And when it came to you retiring, you got an iron lung.
Yes. Indeed. Let's move on to Apple, gentlemen. Apple are just not doing so well at the minute. And I have to say, I agree with this. The reason behind it, the UK has decided that case against Samsung and infringements of design rights has not been upheld. And I have to say, I agree with the judge, because in the bigger write-up from the judge, he actually said, the trouble with all this stuff is, and I am praising what he said, that if you carry this to the nth degree, there will never be any new innovation, because to create innovation, you're probably going to sort of bump into something that someone's done similarly somewhere else.
Can
maybe
I
not
just
as good
interrupt
as,
for a second? My young lady has just walked past and smacked me around the head.
Good.
Thank you for that bit of sympathy on a masculine level.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We didn't hear it.
No.
I was quite brave about it, actually.
Can you ask her to come back and do it again, louder?
She's now stormed out of the house. She just walked past, smacked me around the head while I'm on the air doing a radio show.
Yeah.
And has now stopped. Listen, you'll hear the door slam. No, she heard me say it, so she hasn't slammed it just to make me look an idiot. Carry on, tell you, it was very interesting.
Right. Go on, Mark, you take over.
I can't remember what I was saying.
Apple.
Oh, Apple.
That's because you're old.
I'll tell you, I think it's so terrible the way these legal actions are taking place. Nobody knows where they're standing. You know, something gets frozen, then it doesn't get frozen, then it's allowed back on the market, it doesn't, what have you. And I mean, I understand the need for patents and so forth, but I mean, I do feel that there must be some kind of, you know, abuse, that the law is being exploited to obtain profits rather than anything else. I really don't like it. I think it's just too much. I really wish they'd let it all go, and people ought just simply to fight it out by being better than the other.
Correct.
It's about round corners.
That's the one thing I thought of yesterday, funnily enough, Lee. Stop playing me your Windows, whoever it is. The first thing I thought...
You were just trying to chop me through one.
Yeah, probably. I just thought of the good old-fashioned wheel. Now, I mean,
it's a few round corners on that, isn't it?
Well, that's right. That's what we need, a wheel with squares on it.
Yeah.
Believe me, nobody will sue you.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones.
That's right.
Yeah. And the truth is. Yeah, sound up, Barney. This is the problem. We've got to the point where you can't do another wheel because everybody's going to sue you if you do. So they're actually going to slow down development and innovation with all these blessed patent laws.
Well, that's right. I'm looking around my room now. I've got 1, 2, 3 chairs with round corners. I've got a grandfather clock that's got round corners on the top. I've got a mirror with round corners. Everything's got. What's a ludicrous waste of money, like Mark says, to actually go to law over the fact that you want to have round corners on you, whatever it is you're making? Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's producing any certainty, and I don't think it's producing any sense of confidence in anybody.
Well, do you know what? Can I
seems to be a whole sort of culture now of just suing the other guy for as much as you can.
Well, let me just throw one in the mix here, because years ago when we originally set up RTI, a long while before it was on air, we actually trademarked the name and the patent, and we got the trademark rulings for this, that and the other. And there is actually a group in Italy that are into television. Yeah. And they have been using a red RTI for a very long time, different to ours.
Yeah.
And do you know what we did?
Go on.
We actually agreed that we could both use it.
Hey!
How terrible.
That was a bit innovative, wasn't it?
God, what it, eh? And so they said, look, are you going to do television? No. We're not going to do radio. Good. Yeah. So then we'll live in harmony together. And there's a phrase in the patent law about, you know, living alongside each other, or words to that effect. And you just do it. And the whole thing was cured by two letters. No lawyers anymore. No going to court. So why can't Apple do that?
Yeah. Because they've got too much money to spend. And if they keep spending it on stupid things like this, instead of giving it back to the customers to make the product a little bit cheaper so we could all afford to have them, it's just a ludicrous, prolific waste, profligate even. Mark, you missed that one. You could have corrected me on that. Profligate waste of money.
Well, I'm still thinking of, actually, it's patents, not patents, because patents refers to shoes.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely, you're right.
It's patent if you come from Manchester. You have patent leather. You don't actually have patent leather.
You do not.
Should we start an English school up in Manchester?
The English. I tell you what, this is something that's true, right? That people don't realise. You know the Queen's English, what you're supposed to speak because you used to be on the BBC, you cockney tart.
Yeah.
Right? You know what? Where the English, precise English, whatever that word is that I forgot because I'm so tired, the precise English that the BBC uses comes from?
No.
The East Midlands.
What?
What does? What is he talking about?
It's an East Midlands accent. It is based on an East Midlands accent.
The Queen hasn't.
The Queen's English is based on an East Midlands.
She doesn't talk like that.
I know the Queen doesn't, but all the BBC does, and it comes from the East Midlands, which is nowhere near Manchester, but I just thought I'd throw that into the mix like you threw Apple.
Did you get any following of that at all, Mark?
I'm still trying to work my way through it, but it all sounds highly improbable.
Yes, it does to me as well.
It's the truth!
It's not
on the internet!
It's not on the Harry Potter book, is it?
It's not on the Harry Potter book! It's the truth!
Right.
Google where the Queen's English comes from, and it will say the East Midlands. Look it up!
Right. Shall we move on, Mark?
Yes.
Love it. Microsoft profits fall 22%.
Did they? I didn't know that. I didn't even read that one on this.
It's there, I promise you.
It's a news program. Keep up with the news.
All right.
It's all to do with the huge amount of money they've had to set aside for the launch of Windows 8. They were quite smart about it, Microsoft, because they told everybody. They told everybody. They actually said, we are not going to make as much profit because we've set aside the money for the launch of Windows 8.
Yeah.
Therefore, don't panic, boys and girls, because everything will be marvellous. And when we've got Windows 8 sorted out and the preloaded computers that are already waiting to go out, the money comes in, we'll all be marvellous again.
Yeah.
And I thought...
Why did they not Why have they lost all this money? It's because they're rubbish.
No.
It's not rubbish.
It's not.
It is rubbish.
Why?
Because it doesn't work proper and they spend all the money on going to court. It's like Google's oodles of profits have plummeted.
Lee, it's because they're no longer the best in the marketplace. Lee, can you go and have another cup of coffee?
Have you faded me out again?
No. Can you go and have another cup of coffee?
No, I'm staying here and shouting.
In which case, can you take your fingers out of your ear?
No, I'm going to sit here and shout.
The fact is...
Google are the world's biggest distributors of porn.
Microsoft.
We're not talking about Google, we're talking about Microsoft.
Thank you very much.
I'm talking about Google.
Well, you're on the wrong story. So what they've done is they've set aside some money. We will get to the Google bit in a minute. And they've set aside some money for the launch of Windows 8 and also the computers and laptops that have already been shipped with Windows 8 on that they can't get the money for yet.
Yeah.
But in the next quarter, it'll all come in. So they'll have lots more money. And do you know what they did?
Spend it in court.
No. No, they actually did something honest, like tell people.
Oh, yeah, right. And so, I mean, the shares fell, but they only fell 3%, which is probably what they expect.
And so we now move on, having established all of that, to somebody who doesn't know how to do it properly, and Google's shares plummeted yesterday, and they blamed the printers.
And no, how ludicrous, because it didn't make any difference if the profits plummeted just because the printers sold everybody 2 days early.
I mean, it was a very good opportunity to buy itself into Google, wasn't it? Because I imagine that the price will be back up within a day or two.
I don't think it will, you see, because I think the problem is they're advertising it regained
during the day, Lee.
I bet some people made a fortune.
I bet some people made millions out of it.
Sometimes I have to shout to make myself heard. And I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the fact that their advertising revenues have plummeted.
Right.
Exponentially.
Microsoft.
Yeah, that was the right word.
Not their Microsoft, no. He's moved on now, Mark. He's got there. He's caught up.
What are you talking about now?
I thought you were talking about Microsoft.
People have stopped using Google as a search engine because of their invasion of everybody's privacy. For instance, I use Bing. I bought a bong on Bing.
The peek-a-bong of Bing.
I'm getting confused here.
Why? What's up with you? Just... keep up with the show.
Right, Mark, what do you use as a search tool?
Google. Always Google.
Right, you use Google.
Yes.
I tend to use Google unless I'm on Facebook. If I then want something quickly in Facebook, I just put it in the search bar, and that is Bing. So my suggestion to Uncle Google is, you've probably screwed up by trying to launch your own social media service called Google Plus, which is not terribly talked about anymore and is probably dying slowly and painfully.
Yes, a bit remarkable, that, really.
Yeah, and hang on, what did we predict a long, long time ago on this programme? Or I did. Google Plus would die.
Oh, yeah. I did. Not you two, it was me.
Well, you wouldn't even know what I was talking about at that point. So I think what Google's done is missed out on the fact that Facebook has got millions of people. And when you look at the 50 million plus users here, there and everywhere in different countries, people are searching by Bing rather than Google. So Google's not getting the click-throughs it used to get anymore. And therefore, yes, its revenues will come down. Now, what they should have done is been a bit smart and not be arrogant and go, this social media thing. We won't try and make a new one that nobody will like. No. We'll go in with one that people do like. But what did they do? Screw it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, is that not what I just said, but in a more verbose and pedantic fashion? I said that they've lost because nobody's really interested in them anymore. People use Bing. The problem with it is that Google now will be able to give even less money to the British government.
That'd be hard work. Moving along, we go to France quickly. The French are at it again, Mark.
Yes, well, I mean, the French seem to be... Now, what are they saying? They say they want... I think they want to be paid for allowing Google to operate a search engine in France. Well, I mean, I suppose there's something to be said at it, but actually, I think at the end of the day, it's probably very damaging for French business interests. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the French government always seems to operate a little bit outstep with everybody else in the world. Very strange, that, really.
I think it's a different matter as well, though. It's the fact that in one way, I always agree with Mark about the French.
And in another way?
Yeah, did you hear my young lady just come back? That was her thigh creaking. Yeah. And, Google...
Her thigh creaking?
Yeah, her thigh. She has two thighs on the top of her head, just above her toes. Yes, and Google, right, have acted so arrogantly as they have across the world that at least the French have stood up against them.
Okay, so let's take the other argument that Google currently sends millions of clicks to newspapers every month, millions and millions and millions of them, something around 4 billion.
Yeah, I'm reading that as you speak.
Right, so therefore the French newspapers owe Google for 4 billion's worth of clicks through in marketing and PR.
Yeah, it's a lot of free advertising.
That is a lot of free advertising. Newspapers. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So Google says to them, get stuffed. The fact is, there are so many free French news services around the world now that actually France could be shooting themselves in the foot. And as Mark hinted at a little bit earlier, and I'll make it stronger, by doing international market, they make themselves look stupid.
That was my young lady kissing me and saying she's sorry from the way she's treated me.
Rubbish.
It was. That actually was.
Rubbish. I'd want it signed in blood.
I'll get her to send it. She's now going out of the house quietly.
Oh, is she? Right. Okay.
Ashamed of her leg.
Anyway, I think Google's answer is to say here, yes, okay, French government, we'll pay you, but we're going to charge all of your businesses a click-through rate.
Yes,
can I ask a question?
That's the way. Yep. Then you'll soon find that the French businesses will be turning around to the government and saying, what are you doing? You're stifling business here.
Yeah, funny that.
And then the French will say, what is the matter with this? This is what we do.
This is a stupid little berm. Yes, Lee, ask a question.
I don't understand. What redirected 4 billion clicks to French media pages each month? What does it mean?
It means when people go onto the internet before they buy a newspaper, because they don't buy them, they go onto Google... And the click-through thing enables the newspapers to benefit from 4 billion introductions to their newspaper from Google for free of charge.
So these 4 billion people who clicked on Google to go and find a newspaper...
No, they're not 4 billion people. They're 4 billion clicks.
Well, that's how many people did the clicking? One, just he was really bored and just kept doing it?
No.
Yeah, that's right. 4 billion times.
Yeah, right.
No, but seriously, number of people who made 4 billion clicks to go to French media pages could just go to Bing and click there and go to the same place, so it makes no difference.
Yeah, but they'll do the same problem.
But then the French
government, they will come along to Bing and say, right, well, we want your money as well.
Yeah.
That's fine, but maybe they just... Google have done some terrible things, and at least the French have actually stood up to them in the past as well. Not only this time, in the past.
Lee,
I don't defend
Lee.
French.
Google have done some terrible things, and they've done some absolutely great things. Mm. There was a very interesting article the other day on the BBC website talking about trying to have life without Google. And eventually these guys, they just said the advantages of having Google are so great, it's just not worth it.
Let me just put, as we come to the end of part one, end of part one, France is good at it. They did a law several years ago where they said you must play a minimum percentage of French music on radio stations. So what the French radio stations did said, okay then, Gov, if that's what you really want, you idiots, we'll play it at 3 o'clock in the morning. They blocked it all together, played about 2 hours of French music where nobody was listening, and played the traditional stuff from Germany, England and America during the day. And actually what happened was the French musicians lost out. That's the end of part one, a postcard from Pop Rad.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Eric, give me a break.